What if the secret to professional achievement isn't networking until you drop or always being on? What if that moment you duck into the bathroom at an overwhelming conference isn't a character flaw, but a necessary reset? We've been sold a narrow vision of success, one that demands constant visibility, relentless networking, and saying yes to everything. But there's another path. One that honors your need for quiet, control, and boundaries. This isn't about settling for less, it's about redefining what more actually means. For introverts, the anxious, and anyone who's felt crushed by traditional workplace expectations, this is your permission slip to build success on your own terms, even if that means working from your couch in sweatpants. We're drowning in achievement porn. Glossy images of impossibly successful people living impossibly balanced lives. The mompreneur building a million-dollar empire while raising perfect children. The fearless executive jetting between continents. These narratives have become our measuring sticks, and we're all coming up short. Here's the truth. Much of this is theater. Publicity doesn't pay bills, as Elizabeth Holmes discovered when Theranos collapsed despite glowing press. Social media weaponizes this illusion, creating a painful paradox for introverts. You've deliberately chosen solitude, yet scrolling through others' highlight reels feels like a dagger. This is the business model of social platforms, engineered to make you feel lesser than so you'll keep coming back. When a Forbes-featured entrepreneur with a successful agency still feels inadequate seeing others' curated successes, something's deeply wrong. The digital age promised connection, but delivered comparison on steroids, leaving us tormented by an impossible standard that even those who appear to meet it secretly struggle to maintain. When lean-in dominated the conversation, many women felt disheartened, not because the message was wrong, but because they couldn't possibly work harder. The book addressed real barriers, yet created new anxiety. Were you leaning out if you weren't constantly pushing for more? Sarah Critchfield, founding editorial director of Upworthy, wanted more maternity leave, but feared irrelevance. Jessica Jackley co-founded Kiva at an unhealthy, unsustainable pace that ruined my first marriage. Now remarried with three children, she puts on grown-up clothes twice a week. Her insight? It's a gift to do just enough work sometimes. Leaning out isn't just a parenting issue. Some parents want to work constantly. Some childless professionals want less demanding schedules. The real question is whether you're building a life that fits your values and nervous system, not someone else's template. The path forward: create meaningful work that doesn't require constant office presence. Optimize the stress-to-income ratio rather than just maximize income. When FOMO strikes, remember, they're playing a different game with different rules and different costs. When Warren Buffett told 5,000 women to be fearless, everyone cheered. But what about those for whom fearlessness feels as achievable as sprouting wings? Society conflates leadership with fearlessness and treats anxiety as weakness. Yet anxiety might actually be a powerful clue, even a gift. Christina Wallace, Harvard Business School graduate, two-time startup founder, immediately agreed when asked if she considered her anxiety a gift. Absolutely. Despite living with generalized anxiety disorder since childhood, she's built a successful career. She's learned to work with colleagues to accommodate her needs, like seeing feedback ahead of time to avoid feeling blindsided. Her anxiety hasn't prevented success. It's shaped how that success operates. Here's the paradox. Anxiety has a love-hate relationship with work. The hustle comes from bag lady syndrome, that fear of financial ruin driving careful schedule and workload management. Anxiety fuels work ethic and contributes to achievement in ways fearlessness never could. For those with social anxiety, we're exquisitely attuned to others' needs. Our anxiety drives preparation. We never wing it. We rehearse, plan body language, perfect every transition. Our time management is superior because we tackle scary tasks first. The key isn't eliminating anxiety, but harnessing it, making it useful rather than debilitating. When you tune into your psyche's clues, you can use them to propel yourself forward.
Introverts have a character trait. Hermits make a lifestyle choice, consciously reshaping their work for quiet and accepting career trade-offs for daily control. Clear Shipman, a Peabody Award-winning journalist and former White House correspondent, exemplifies this shift. After covering the Soviet Union's fall for CNN, she abandoned her adrenaline-filled career to work primarily from home as a secret slacker. The digital age enables this transition. 20% of American workers already telework most of the time, and 50% have jobs compatible with remote work. However, smartphones have eroded boundaries. Harvard's Leslie Perlow found teams with clear on-off boundaries experience less burnout and fewer mistakes. The challenge remains workplace norms favoring FaceTime. When one boss offered three-day remote work to retain an employee, productivity stayed constant while thriving increased dramatically. Co-working spaces, from one in 2005 to over 7,000 globally, now offer freedom with structure for those needing autonomy without isolation. For chronic people pleasers, saying no feels impossible when culture equates success with saying yes. Compulsively accepting everything led to anxiety attacks and $10,000 monthly travel bills. Being an entrepreneurial doormat meant losing the essential strength of healthy boundaries. Psychologist Rebecca Harley notes clients often ask, "How the hell did I get here?" The answer? They ignored important signals. Migraines, body pain, jaw clenching. These warn that boundaries are being violated. Your body communicates through panic attacks and insomnia. Boundaries are your bottom line. Give yourself permission to say, "That's not going to work for me." Before accepting projects, ask, "Can I do this from home with scheduling autonomy? Does it align with my mission? Do I respect this client? Does it fulfill social good, earn meaningful money, create powerful relationships, or raise professional visibility? What am I sacrificing?" Learning guilt-free refusal is perhaps the hardest yet most valuable skill. Carry your yearly goals and ask, "Does this advance a goal?" Request consideration time. "Let me sleep on it." The pause creates space where your actual needs emerge above obligation. In a world obsessed with unicorn valuations, choosing differently requires quiet courage. Success on your terms might mean 2 client days, 3 working from home, with 1 call-free day. It might mean staying deliberately small while competitors expand, because keeping your business manageable creates the lifestyle you actually want. This isn't lowering standards, it's raising them in ways that matter to you. Use pricing as positioning, be selective about clients. If you wouldn't work for them for free, don't do it at all. Emphasize quality over volume. Stay low-tech rather than invest in infrastructure. You'll lose as much business as you win, but clients stay loyal and refer others, creating manageable workload without constant hustle. The dirty secret? You can grow your career while making room for life. Companies lose tremendous talent because hermits need control over place, pace, and space. Introversion and anxiety aren't weaknesses. They're potential keys to strength. Your need for quiet isn't a limitation. It's the foundation of a sustainable, meaningful career that won't burn you out by 40. That's not settling. That's wisdom.